But I want to talk about what a donkey, yes, a donkey may have seen years ago and what he might have experienced. And a story that's found in all four of the Gospels. And there's something about stories that are in all four, because in all four of the Gospel writers, eyewitnesses got to depict something they saw, and each one of them wrote a little something different, as you'll see after we get into the scripture this morning. But it was kind of like, la, 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 la. That sounded like a flock of geese, but it was supposed to illustrate harmony. That's what the harmony of the Gospels are all about. They all harmonize in what they saw. And this is a beautiful story. I love to read stories. I don't know about you, but a long time ago, I was told, my pastor years ago told me, during the week of Easter, that the best way to enjoy that is to sit down and read a story or read the events that happened to Jesus on that particular day. Most Bibles, a lot of Bibles, have the days actually broken out as to what he did on each day. And it's wonderful to read. You know, I just enjoy so much doing that. A lot of people call it Holy Week, Passion Week. They call it different things, but I enjoy the week leading up to Easter. And one of the stories that I read is years ago, it's something I want to celebrate. I want to show you today. And you know what? I figured this. If we just celebrate Easter for one day and then go our separate ways, who got the benefit of that? We did. But what did Jesus get? So that's why I want to look back and maybe keep the celebration going. You know, that's why I want to share today's story. Because hopefully this will point the emphasis where it's supposed to be. There's nothing wrong with us celebrating Easter. Obviously, we should. But this story in Palm Sunday is the story that's related to Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You've heard the story many times. I'm going to look between the lines here today and kind of pick out something. And as Brother Marty calls it, divide the word a little bit and look and see what's in here for us today. And it's found in Luke, story's found in Luke 19, and it's kind of lengthy, but it's a story, and I want you to kind of follow this. If you don't have an outline or sermon notes this morning, if you raise your hand, Milton's in the back. If you didn't get a bulletin, Milton's in the back, he'll be glad to get you one, but you'll need this. It'll be helpful as we follow along with this. Luke 19, 28 through 40 says this. It says, when he said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem, and it came to pass as he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called Olivet. Now, Jesus is not in Jerusalem yet. He's on the Mount of Olives, and he's turning to go down into Jerusalem, but there are small villages on either side. There are small villages before he gets to Jerusalem, and these are the villages that they're talking about here. Drew near to Bethphage and to Bethany at the Mount called Olivet. He sent two of his disciples saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. Now, the harmony of the gospel, some of them say this is a donkey colt. Some of them say that it is a foal of a donkey. Some of them say it's a donkey with its mother, that both of them came. We're not real sure because it just tells us that there's a colt there that no one's ever sat on, and he tells them to loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it, then thus you'll say to him, because the Lord hath need of it. So those who were sent their way, who went their way, found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owner of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And if you go to steal somebody's car today, folks, that's not going to get it. You may get shot, if you know what I'm talking about. But can you understand the implications here of just going? Now, I will tell you this. There are a number of commentaries that say that this is not a miracle by any stretch of the imagination. They believe, J. Vernon McGee, who I respect greatly, his work, says that more than likely Jesus had this already prearranged, and that there was a person there that he was going to, you know, get a donkey from and borrow it. And, And it was all set in motion. I'll leave that to you for your interpretation. But he says, the Lord has need of it. And then he says, they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. It didn't say Jesus jumped up on it. It said they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. And as he was drawing near to the descent going down of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice, praise God, and found with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now here's the story, people. You've got these people who have been oppressed by the Romans for all these years, and they see this man who comes and obviously has something special, and they see the miracles that he does, and they say, finally, we've got a leader. We've got a king. We've got a king of the Jewish people who's going to lead us out of oppression. He's going to bring us here. He's here. We're going to celebrate. He is going to deliver us from the Romans. But folks, he wasn't coming to deliver them from the Romans. He came to deliver them from their own sin. That's what he was there for. So the crowd was a little bit confused by that. Now he said, peace in heaven and glory in the highest, what they were hollering. And some of the disciples called to him from the crowd. The Pharisees called him and said, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Isn't it always politically correct to do the politically correct thing? You know, we're all supposed to do that. And they're doing this here. Jesus, they're calling you king here. Now, we know that, you know, there's going to be ramifications for this if you're called king, because you know who's anointed you king. And I love the way Jesus replies here. He said, I'll tell you that if these should keep silence, then the stones are going to immediately cry out. My creation's going to cry out, because the creation knows who the creator is. And what they're hollering and what they're crying out, that the king is coming into town. Hey, this is something that should be done. It's not something you want to quell them and say, we do too much of that in our society now. Let's be careful what we say. Be real careful, because we may offend some. That's what the Pharisees were kind of saying right here. And you know what? I don't believe this is a myth. I don't believe it's a fairy tale. I don't really believe it's a hand-me-down story. I believe it was an eyewitness account. And I believe it happened on a day just like today, just like it is outside today. In all my heart, I believe it happened that way. And I believe he rode in the way the story says he did. I'm not an auditory learner. I'm a visual learner. Some of you can relate to that. I'm a visual learner, so I have to visualize things. To me, in my mind, when I read a story, I have to try to visualize it. And I visualize this. I visualize this many times, just what it looks like. I've never been to the Middle East. I don't know what this would appear like geographically and that kind of thing. But I try to visualize what I'm looking at. And the thing that keeps coming, that keeps jumping out in front of the vision is what he knew when he turned toward Jerusalem. He knew what he was doing. He knew where he was going, and he knew what he was going for. He knew the passion. He knew the pain. But he knew the prize that was set before him. He knew what he was going to do. Can you imagine riding into a place that's created on earth to receive the Messiah, and you're riding down knowing that they're not going to receive you in the correct way? Can you imagine how heartbroken he must have been? And you know, you got the players in the story, and that's Jesus. And the other player, the crowd, they're excited. But you know what? They're a fickle group. They're now throwing palm branches down on the ground, and that's the reason Palm Sunday. They're throwing palm branches down on the ground. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're screaming, hey, recognize the king is coming. Here he is. And they're pointing, and they're excited. Now, let me tell you this. There was probably 1 million people They're estimated, most scholars estimate, there was at least 1 million people or more coming into the tiny town of Jerusalem. Can you imagine how crowded the streets might have been? And here they are rejoicing. Our king is coming. Here he is. And he's blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. But let me tell you something, folks. Just a few days later, the same folks that said Hosanna are going to holler, crucify him. That's how fickle we are. That's what the nature of sin will do to you. And that's the way they were. That's the crowd. Then you got the disciples who are walking along with him. And you know, they're just hanging on for the ride. You can read later on in scripture, and I meant to make a note of it. I don't remember exactly where it was, but I read it this week. In the scripture, it says the disciples later on realized what was going on. But at the time, they had no clue. They didn't realize how important this was. They didn't realize that in Daniel's prophecy, this day is pointed to in a timeline. In the 770s of Daniel, this is pointed to this day. Because this day, Jesus is proclaimed king for the first time. This day was important. And they had no clue. They were just hanging on, kind of like hanging on for the ride. But you know, Jesus wasn't doing all he did in this story just to be, you know, just going at a whim, kind of like we do sometimes. Jesus wasn't doing things on a whim, folks. He was fulfilling prophecy. Look what I put in there in your notes, Zechariah 9:9. This happened 1,900 years before this date. Zechariah wrote this. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. Exactly what he did. He gave, you know, in the story he gives such detailed descriptions. There's so much detail here because what he did was to fulfill the prophecy that was done long ago. God inspired people to write the prophecy of how it was going to be. Jesus knew what that was, and every move was orchestrated exactly to fulfill all the prophecy. And there were many prophecies to be fulfilled. Most all of them have already been fulfilled. All of them will be fulfilled when the end of time comes. All of them will be. Not one's been missed, that I can tell you. But he was fulfilling prophecy. And I got to tell you, I have trouble with that kind of, because if I'm the king and I'm Jesus, and thank God I'm not, but if I'm Jesus, I'm not coming in riding on a donkey. You know what I'm saying? I'm riding in on Clyde. I'm getting one of those Budweiser horses. You know what I'm saying? Them show horses. You know, and I'm going to be sitting up there on the best saddle that they make. I'd have told them, go get the finest saddle in the world, put it on the Clydesdale, and you know how, you've seen how a horse does his head like this. I don't know why I do that, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Now, horse, be doing this, coming into Jerusalem, and that's what I'd be sitting on top of the horse doing. Yeah, either that or a black stallion. I wouldn't have got a donkey, I can tell you that. Because the donkey was not revered as one of the most beautiful. Let's face it, folks. Donkeys are ugly, okay? If you got one and I'm offending you right now, I apologize. But it's just a critique. Donkeys are ugly. Or I got to thinking about this. Can I say I have quite an imagination thinking about this day, of what I might have done. You know, I may have made this donkey sing. I'd have made that donkey lay his head back and let the crowd see him, and I'd let that donkey, the king is coming, oh, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and soon his face you'll see. The king is coming, oh, the king is coming. Praise God, he's riding on me. You have to change the song up a little bit, but it works, you know what I'm saying? That's what I would have. I'd have had a donkey singing in front of me where everybody would have been. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus was fulfilling prophecy. He's riding on the donkey like he's supposed to. You know, Jesus was a borrower too. You know, he borrowed this donkey. Are you borrowers? I don't know how many borrowers we got out here. I don't like to borrow things. It bothers me. If I borrow something from you, I can't wait till I get it back to you. I just, you know, I can't handle that. It just bothers me.
But Jesus was a borrower. He borrowed a manger. He borrowed a boat so he could stand and preach to people from the shore. He borrowed bread and fish so he could feed a multitude of people. He borrowed an upper room so they could eat the last meal. And he borrowed a tomb, but he only needed it 3 days. He didn't need it very long. You hear me this morning? Now, I'm looking at this story, and I'm thinking, could it be that in this story that God would illustrate to us that he wants to borrow you and I and carry his message to the world that of people that are dying without him? Maybe there's a purpose for this story being in there, because I believe this: if God can use a donkey to bring and carry Jesus to another person, how much more can he do it with you and I? How much more can he do it? Maybe there's a reason this story is in Scripture. Now, I want to look quickly, and we'll be through very shortly here, at what the donkey did for Jesus. What did the donkey do for Jesus? He didn't really sing, okay? He provided mobility. He provided a mobility. Now, with all the crowd that's coming and all the crowd that's crowded along the road and all the disciples surrounding Jesus, it would have been hard to pick him out. But the donkey made a way for Jesus to get through the crowds, to get where he was going. He gave him mobility. Now, notice this in the story. Jesus didn't ask the donkey to do any more than the donkey was made to do. I want you to see that, because that's important. He didn't ask the donkey to do anything. The donkey didn't sing. He didn't put a tutu on the donkey so it would dance through the street. He didn't do any of those things. The donkey was a beast of burden. You know what donkeys did, folks? They did work. That's what they were for, to move things from one place to another, move people from one place to another. They were a beast of work. They're a beast of burden. That's what they did. And Jesus, he let the donkey serve in the very capacity for which it was made. And the same thing can be said for you and me. He wants us to serve right where you are and right how you are. He doesn't want you to be anything different to serve him. He made you that way for a purpose. And the donkey was the same way. He wants to do the same thing with us. There is a divine purpose, folks, that is uniquely put in each and every one of us. You need to believe that, folks. You really need to hang on to that. There is a divine purpose that's put in your life because God made you differently than he did anybody else. And he's got a purpose there. He wants you to make Jesus mobile. What does that mean? What did the donkey do? He carried Jesus from this place to this place. What does God want you to do? He wants you to carry Jesus from wherever you are to wherever you're going. He wants you to carry Jesus to other people. See, the donkey transported Jesus along the road to Jerusalem, to where Jesus was supposed to be, for the people who were supposed to see and hear Jesus. He carried him from one place to another. My question for you this morning, are you carrying Jesus anywhere? Where is he going with you? And here, if not, let me ask you this. Can you not at least do what a donkey does? Can you not do what a donkey? Because a donkey did it. The second thing, he gave Jesus not only mobility, he gave Jesus visibility. Visibility. The donkey kind of raised Jesus up above the heads of the crowd. Again, if Jesus was walking in a big throng of people and all his disciples gathered around him as they would have been, it would have been hard to pick out which one he was. But this is not what this day is about. This day is the presentation of the king. So we want to make sure everybody sees the king. So by riding on the donkey's back, Jesus was giving visibility. What does that mean? That just means he was lifted up to a level where people could see him. Million people crowding in trying to see him. And the donkey lifted him up where he could be seen. A donkey who had never been ridden on. Not one time. Now let me ask you this. Do you have people in your life that you need to make Jesus visible? That you need to show him to them? Because that's what the donkey did. He didn't do anything else. You got many people right now, folks, many that you come into contact with every day, and I do too, and their life is spiraling out of control. You know why? Because they haven't really seen Jesus yet. You know what our job is? It's to make him visible where people can see him. You know, if they don't see him in you, where are they going to see him? If the people around you don't see him in you, where are they going to find him? Well, Mike, Jesus don't need me. He can do whatever he wants to do. Yeah, that's right. But if he's in you, then you're blessed, and the person that you're showing Jesus to is blessed. People need to see Jesus in you. If God can use a donkey, he can surely use you. Can we, like the donkey, make Jesus visible in our life? The last thing I wanted you to see there is the donkey demonstrated his availability. And I spent a little time on this. The donkey, it says the donkey was tied to a post, and I believe one of them didn't say anything, but another one said a doorway or a post. It was waiting for the time that he would be called into action. Now, I don't know, I'm first going to tell you, I'm not a donkey whisperer. You know, I've never been around any, so I'm going to validate that. But can you imagine what the donkey must have felt day after day? Here's the donkey. Day after day, they get him up, take him over here to this post, and they tie him, and there he is with his mother. And he stands there all day. He's waiting. He's waiting. And that's a word you and I don't like. I went to the hospital this week with Grant's baby, and I saw that thing that said waiting room. And you know what? I didn't want to go in there. Because none of us like to wait. We're going to loose ourselves and go. Here's the donkey, and I thought about that this way. Here's the donkey looking at all his friends going by in the road. You know, you got other little donkeys, and here they come by. And one of them, you know, he's got a little boy riding him, and they're whipping him. Yeah, let's go, you know. And the donkey's got his head back, and wind flowing in his fur, you know. And he's lumping along, and you know, this donkey's tied to a post, and he's over there looking at that. That looks like a lot of fun, because that donkey's fulfilling his purpose. That little boy's having a ball. He's whipping that donkey. He's having a ball. He's running everything. And here I am tied to my post. There's another donkey. There's two of them together, and they're pulling a cart loaded down with vegetables and all kind of things, going to a market, and they're pulling those. Look at those donkeys over there. They're pulling the cart. Look at them. What am I doing here tied to the post? And you can imagine how the donkey felt. And let me ask you this. Have you ever felt just a little bit insignificant? Maybe unattractive? Without a purpose? That's kind of where this donkey was. But you know, one day, the donkey looks around. Who are these people that are talking to my master? What are they saying? Have I been bought? What, they said the Lord has need of me? What does that really mean? Can you imagine just for a moment how the donkey felt? Do you know what I realized about that donkey? He was where he was supposed to be when Jesus needed him. That's where he was. Now, he probably didn't like it all the time. He probably looked and saw the other little donkeys having a ball. But he said he was right there where he was supposed to be. He was tied at his post. And you know what he found out? The wait was worth it. He made himself available to Jesus. He became, folks, the most famous donkey in history. There's not another donkey anywhere, I don't care what he's done, not another donkey that compares to this one. This one will be remembered throughout history because he got to carry the heaviest load that any donkey could ever carry. He carried the Lord of your life and my life, he carried the Lord, and he carried the weight of the world that was on the Lord. Can you imagine how heavy this poor little donkey, what he was having to carry? But he carried him with his head back. You imagine this donkey's never been used, never done anything, never had a purpose, and all of a sudden, he's walking with the king on his back, and he's got palm branches and clothes in front of him. He can feel his hoof, his talk just touching his feet. And he's walking along that road, and he realizes, don't you think the donkey just stopped and said, you know, I waited a long time, but I sure am glad I was where I was when the Lord needed me. Let me ask you this morning, are you in a place that you're supposed to be when God needs you? Or is that what we're doing? Why can't we do it if the donkey did? Now, there's three things quickly that I want you to see. It said, knowing how Jesus used the donkey, what should it cause us to do? The first thing I think it should cause us to do is to pray. Cause us to pray. Well, Mike, the donkey didn't pray. We don't know about that. But the donkey did this. I think prayer does this. It prepares the way of the Lord. That's what this donkey did. He prepared the way for the coming of the Lord. He was carrying the Lord with him. We need to pray. And I've found this out in my life, that prayer does a couple of things for me. It not only prepares the hearts of those that I am praying for to find Jesus, but it prepares my heart. You know what it does? It takes the focus off me, and I like to keep the focus on me. I don't know about you, but I like to have the focus on me. We all do from time. We don't, prayer does. When I start to sit down and get serious and pray in God, you know, my purpose becomes less and his becomes greater. That's what prayer really does. It takes the focus off ourselves and puts it on what God wants us to do. So I think that's one thing the donkey did, preparing the way of the Lord. And I think that's the thing that we can do. If we're going to have Easter all the time, as Brother Frank said last week, then we need to be in prayer all the time. As a church, we need to be in prayer. Second thing is we need to invite. We need to invite. Invite people that see Jesus in us. You might get that one question about what's going on over there at Grace. What are y'all doing at that church? I saw the parking lot and I saw the building and all. What are y'all doing over there? You might get that one just least little slip where you can slide in and say, hey, you know, I would love for you to come and be my guest and come to Grace Baptist and let us, you know, just enjoy the worship with us. We don't ask you to do anything. Just come and enjoy the worship. Inviting is an investment, folks. That's what it is. Now, there's some wrong ways to do this and some right ways. Don't do what I call a drive-by, you know. Don't go up to somebody and say, hey, I ain't seen you in church in years. Why don't you come? That's drive-by. Don't do that, you know. Or don't look at somebody, I've never seen you. You don't go to church anywhere, do you? Why don't you come to Grace? Well, they're going to really jump on that, aren't they? Yeah. Don't do it that way. Tell them that I'll tell you what, if you'll come to Grace, I'll meet you at the door. And then I'll take you in and you can come sit with me. You can be my guest at Grace Baptist. Inviting is to invest into people that they might see Jesus. That's what this donkey said, hey, look what's on my back. Look who I'm carrying. You know what you and I can do? Look who's in my heart that's exhibited in my life through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the donkey did. And the third thing I put is celebrate what God has done for us all year long, not just Easter. I love what Frank said, the message last week, Easter all the time. We need to learn to celebrate a little bit more. We need to learn to get excited about things. And I thought about this, folks. We need to celebrate what God has done for you. There's some people sitting in this room right now. I would be presumptuous, but I believe there are people sitting in this room right now that 5 years ago didn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They're here today because of this process that I'm talking about. They found Jesus as Lord and Savior. They're here. You never know, folks. You don't know about things like that. But you know what I do know? People get excited when they see you get excited about Jesus. It's a kind of a thing that just infiltrates from one to another. We should never, let me say this, we should never come into a worship service like we did this morning and not be excited about why we're here. We need to understand something, folks. We're not fulfilling an obligation. That's not what this is. It's an opportunity to worship. It's an opportunity to praise Him. It's an opportunity to lift Him up high and above all else, just like this donkey did. You don't want to get infused with Jesus, so when I leave here, I want to celebrate every day what He's done for me and take Him to the rest of the world. That's what the donkey did. What an awesome honor it is, folks, for us to be used by God. Did you ever think that God would like want to borrow you for a little while and use you? Keith, if you'll come, let's pray. If you'll bow your heads and keep your eyes closed, please, and just take a moment to reflect and meditate on what these words in Scripture have said this morning. Hebrews 9:28 says, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. When He comes again, it won't be to forgive sins. It will be to proclaim His kingdom here forever and ever and ever. And it will be to claim those who have put their faith in Him." What an honor it is to be used by God. There are those this morning that are sitting in our congregation, Lord, that are far away from You. Lord, they've untied themselves from the post and they've run off. They're far away from You. But Lord, I know that there's no distance too great for You. So I pray this morning as we take this time before You, this time of invitation, that all of us, each of us, Lord, would search deep within our hearts and ask ourselves, are we as useful as the donkey was? Lord, are we actually carrying Jesus somewhere? Father, are we making Jesus visible so other people can see Him in our life? And if we're not, Lord, maybe we need to come this morning around this altar and ask God to help us and get us back to where we're supposed to be. Lord, are we celebrating You the way You should be celebrated for what You have done? Or are we just quietly going through what we do as an obligation? Father, I pray that that not be so. I pray, Lord, that out of deep, deep affection and appreciation, Lord, we would come into worship and celebrate You for what You have done for us. Lord, we thank You for new beginnings and for fresh starts. Lord, I know that every person here matters to You this morning. I know that not one person here this morning is here out of just random mistake or here, Lord, just on their own ability. I believe, Lord, You put everybody here for a purpose this morning. I believe You're that kind of God. So we ask You, Lord, this time, move within our hearts, Lord. If there are those here, Lord, who've never trusted You as Lord and Savior, this is the time to get on the donkey. This is the time. Lord, I pray, move in their hearts this morning as we sing. Lord, we give all honor and praise and glory to You. It's not by our power or might, but it's by the power of Your Holy Spirit. We recognize that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.